Sunday, July the 18th, 1993. Thank you, Ed.
The bad news is that there is yet more on the horizon. Have you yet perhaps realized that these are the times of tribulation? And if you are sitting in church pews this day and waiting upon the Lord, you are in for quite a long wait. The Lord is not going to do your work for you. And he is not going to rapture you ones out of the troubles up to some fluffy white cloud. So I would suggest you get up out of those pews and get to work. Prayer is a wonderful thing, but are you only talking the talk? Or are you willing to get up and walk the walk? Until you are willing to put your hard labors and sweat of the brow into the work, you're not going to get anywhere. You have been informed over and over and over that these days were coming soon. We have told you that it could be today, tomorrow, or a year from now, but they were coming, and yet most of you have continued to sit back and wait for a sign of some sort. What kind of a sign do you ones expect? Are you waiting for 666 to appear in neon lights in the sky? Or were you waiting for some shiny silver spacecraft to land in your front yard with a personal message for you?
That's one.
The hosts of God and your space brothers do not work that way. We have used the available media upon your own place through which to reach as many as possible. There are now some 78 journals and a 40 to 60 page weekly newspaper in which you have had information available to you about how to get yourselves prepared and ready for that which was coming upon you. Oh, we hear the supplications continually. Oh, please just come get us now. We're ready to go home. No, you're not. There is still much to be done down on the earth, and until the job is done, none of us can go home, including us. We are all here for the duration. Responsibility for selves is the key, precious one. Responsibility. It is a word tossed about your world today, but not understood and certainly not practiced. Everyone wants their freedoms, but few are willing to act responsibly. Depending upon your government to bail you out of your troubles is not acting responsibly. Pushing your warped lifestyles in others' faces is not acting responsibly. Promiscuous sex producing unwanted babies is not acting responsibly, and certainly aborting these little ones before they have opportunity for a breath is not acting responsibly. Your greed and lusts and living for the moment and living only for selves is not acting responsibly. The sad part is that all these things are viewed by your culture and your society as taking responsibility. For example, if you get yourself pregnant, then be responsible and do not bring that unwanted life into the world. Moreover, if you want your sexual freedoms, then go out and start shoving it in others' faces. And if you want your possessions taken care of, go to the government. Do you not see what is wrong with the picture here? You have simply taken responsibilities that should be your own and passed the buck to someone else. As soon as you turn your responsibilities over to another, then that one has the right to call the shots for you, to tell you what to do. This is what you once have done, and now you are paying the piper. The enemy has you ones right where he wants you and is moving in for the final kill. It is exactly that which we have spent 4 years informing you about. When you are finally brought to your knees, and you are not far from that point now, then he will openly move in and declare himself the winner. In the meantime, now the farmers are apt to lose all that they have been struggling to save, because they are indebted to the hilt. And that land, even though it be underwater now, will be repossessed. Many of the farms have been in the family for over 100 years, and within 20 they are bankrupt. The money changers in your world have no ethics other than to claim what they feel is rightfully their own, regardless of what it may do to you ones. If these ones were not mortgaged to the maximum limits when the floodwaters recede, they would, at the very least, have their land upon which to rebuild. As it stands, however, most of these farmers will not even own their land once the waters recede. Where will they go? How will they survive? How will they rebuild their lives? Many of these people have never done anything except work the family farm and are equipped to do little else. Your president has promised to send in federal troops to assist the National Guard if the governors ask.
Everybody pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Just like L.A., let's get those federal troops in there. And what makes him think he can do that? Well, he's already declared emergency state, hasn't he? And that allows him legally to bring in martial law. And that means that you will be having UN troops in there as well as federal. Go on, please.
Your president has promised to send in federal troops to assist the National Guard if the governors ask. What does this tell you once? It shouts loudly of martial law. More tent cities and people being driven off their lands by force if need be, just as your government did to those in Florida last year. As Commander Hatson has reminded you once before, you are moving into the funnel's neck, and it is becoming quite a tight squeeze for many of you. Remember, the funnel gets narrower the farther into it you travel. Now to earthquakes. Yes, there have been yet more in Japan. They have averaged 7 to 8 per day for a week, with magnitudes ranging from 4.6 to 5.9. The shakers are not isolated to the area so hard hit last week, however, for it is shaking from the northern tip to the southern tip and out into the ocean all around those little islands. You can look for more damaging activity, I fear, in this place. The plate movements are increasing, as is evidenced by the additional activity in other areas of the Ring of Fire. There have been several small earthquakes again in the Los Angeles area that are in the 3.3 to 3.4 range. Earthquakes in Costa Rica in the 4.9 to 5.2 range, and a 4.8 tremor in Nicaragua, a 5.9 in the Fiji Island region, a 6.1 in northern Chile, a 5.1 in the Aleutian Islands off the coast of Alaska, and the Mammoth Lakes area is shuddering with low-level activity as well. It should be clear to you ones by the list of activity that your Pacific plate is very busy. It should also ring some alarm that the probability of more widespread seismic activity is most imminent at this point in time. Those quakes that occurred in Southern California in the Los Angeles area were on the Whittier Fault. And that should tell you a lot. That's an important trigger fault for the lower San Andreas. You are simply into one more week of the trials, dear ones. But regardless of what comes upon you, remember that which you ones are. For without this knowledge, you are set up for failure before you begin. Unless you come into the knowledge and understanding that you are beings of light upon this world to serve in a mission, unless you carry that light with you at all times and keep it in the forward places of the mind, you too will soon slip into the darkness. It is very easy to be all caught up in the troubles of the day and playing the poor me games, that I tell you now that you came into your present expression for this very purpose. There are lessons available to you, ones that shall never be learned any other way. And remember also that the more difficult the lessons, the greater the learning curve. So as each day comes upon you, arise to greet the morning sun with the knowledge of who and what you are. You shall never be required to endure more than you are able. For if you were not able and ready, the lessons would not be presented. Let these words be of comfort in the coming days. Let us draw this to a close now. We have been a bit harsh, I realize, yet there are times when a teacher must come down a little hard upon the students in order to bring home an important point. The point I have brought unto you ones this day is indeed important, and one that cannot be missed. I hold you ever in the light of Holy God and within the shield. You ones are blessed and are serving in a mighty way, though it may seem so much mud unto you who are on the front lines. We thank you and we are honored by your service. Tonios Duclair, Solid.
Thank you, Ed. Callie. Callie has to do her work in the middle of the night, Dorma. Well, I'll stop that complaining. I feel like for some of you here, like Martha, for instance, we have a lot of fun in here along in our journey. There's no other purpose in this journey. If we just suffer and crawl around on our bellies, feeling sorry for ourselves, or feeling superior, whatever might be the fleshly temptations of the ego, we wouldn't get anything accomplished. And ones want to say, well, everything, you know, coming in those spaceships are evil. Those are Satan's troops. Ask any preacher, you know, this sort of a deal. I have to ask ones to go within their mind who try to figure out who in the world we do represent. Obviously, if you have been keeping up with our work, you know we do not represent the evil aspect. We represent only the God of light aspect of experience. It is the time of sorting. It is the time of the revelations upon your place. You have evolved typically as a society of thought creation, given the right of freedom of choices. Your society has reached the point in technological knowing and learning that you can create great havoc without any capability of controlling it. If it gets out of control, you can produce, you cannot give soul energy, so you really produce those very robotic beings that will also kill you, the manufacturers of these beings. Because evil itself, which does exist, let's not talk old devil. Evil exists. It does not come in the form of a monster, nor can you blame the poor old dragon for being evil. He just is. You create the evil aspect by your actions and your intent and your ignorance. Evil is simply that deliberate attempt to pull one from one's pathway to the light or to God. Perfect. So there are varying degrees of evil. But it nonetheless exists. There would have to be the negative aspect of anything that cannot be considered either evil or bad. It just is, and it is your testing mechanism that over here is the perfection of God, over here is the tester, or the opposite of God, the darkness, the light. Hell becomes the lack or voidance of God. There is no God in hell, not God of light. You have all sorts of gods in this hell experience, but God of light is not there. And this aspect will not be brought into the lighted places of God, perfection. So you have everything in between. And you have the very being of necessity to allow for your growth. And that takes place in this free will choice of physical environment or physical experience. So leaving that, when you go into your churches, for instance, and they say, well, it comes from outer space, it's evil. An extraterrestrial, oh, God forbid it, walk in here, we will put it down with our prayers. What are you talking about? That says you will not know the Master when he comes, because everything non-terrestrial is extraterrestrial. How will you know him when he comes? You will only know him by his radiance, by the energy that this entity will bring with him. And you will know without a doubt that's who that is. Well, who the super you then? Well, I'm a servant to this radiance. And I will serve it to perfection. You walk into a church, if you be Catholic, and there is Blessed Mother. This is a symbol, an emblem, an icon, if you will. I don't want to insult. It is a reference point. It is a focus to walk into a beautiful place and there is Mother. And very often represented as the Madonna with the child. That is the representation of Earth and all of you. Everything birthed of the physical and the spiritual that makes you. You will see the brother on the cross. That can either be an awful symbol, or it can be the hope of your life eternal. Not an energy dead, or a body hanging in agony. It is a focus to say, someone gave that I might have. And in all things, it cannot be physical. If you lock into the physical of these things that bring focus into the spiritual, you have erred. That's your fault. Maybe it's the fault of the teacher that tells you something. You know, Good Friday, Palm Sunday, crucifixion, death, spilling of blood, that is physical. The spiritual aspect knows no Good Friday, Palm Sunday, crucifixion. It is infinite. And that's what the teacher came for, And this also demonstrates to you what man could not put down, no matter how he tried. So it becomes irrelevant whether it ever even actually happened. Because those things that would have happened in the physical matter not. The lesson is that there is eternal life, no death.
Mother?
Please.
Have you ever shown that the coming of the Radiant One would be only coterminous with the entry of the fifth dimensional wave in our plane?
I'm not even going to get into it. Just know that when he comes, he will sit down. You will perceive him as physical. He will not join in with your dimension. He will be more easily recognized to you once moving into a higher dimension, and he will lower his radiance to match it. The darkened ones, the ones still in their captivity of darkness, of ignorance, will experience it as some kind of a phenomenon. It will terrify them. They will not recognize it as what it is. And if I try to pin a dimensional limit on it, I am limiting God. It will be exactly as it will be, and it will be suitable, and it will be perfect. But I cannot go through the type of teachings that limit and try to diagram for you. You move from here to here and this happens, and here to here and this happens.
Excuse me. I was trying to refer to that statement in Jordan that says...
Don't try again. I missed it all.
I was trying to refer to the statement in the Jordan that says that the secret of the universe is in the wave.
Yes.
That we're all wave particles.
Yes.
And that the fourth dimensional wave has already commenced. And we're just waiting for the fifth wave, which is a wave of manifestation, a wave of materialization, a more positive button force. So I was trying to see the correlation, the fourth being close one. So that with the end of the fifth wave, I was just supposing that maybe this is a time when the Radiant One, the Messiah, shall come in. What shall be called?
Well, you've answered your own question, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. You are experiencing and you are perceiving exactly what is being expressed in the lighted wave universe. You're going to have to increase your own wave velocity and frequency to match, to the best of your ability. The higher frequencies will lessen to facilitate some integration here, at least enough to travel a physical being refined enough through a light beam. But you see, when I try to explain, and what you're missing again is you are perceiving something that cannot be. You are a wave, a pulsed wave frequency energy form, manifest, coalesced into a physical outline or compression. Don't get hung up on it. If you try to be specific about it and put limits so that you think you're understanding, you are misunderstanding because of your limitations. You also have to understand while you're talking about this that you have a wave universe, but it is not like you perceive it. the electricity or the electrical universe will move basically in a linear pattern as is perceived. The magic of the word is the answer. Perceived. You do not have a wave that goes over here and washes on the shore any more than you have a wave in the middle of the ocean that is moving over here somewhere. What is it doing? It is being a piston. It is moving up and down. Now, as it reaches shore and its motion hits upon shoals or shallow, it will become a rolling motion, a spiraling lateral motion. Everything in the universe that is in motion is only perceived, and it is moving up and down and in a spiral rotation. This is why we must have the ability to utilize what has already been given to you to catch up when you're trying to perceive light and what is God. And the Christ being that will come again is the fragment of God, which is total light of all refraction, total energy. And all things of creation are simply thought projection of that energy. And that requires movement as you would perceive it, but there is no movement. And there is no scientific language that you have that allows me to get that point across to you because of your human perceptions and what you have been given already scientifically. You can consider yourself nothing but a reflection. A mirror does not go anywhere, but you can perceive motion in it. But it's just there. So when we say it has to come from somewhere and go somewhere, no, your focus of attention changes. That's all. And a blind man perceives very, very differently and actually sees what is going on better than a vision person, because he only has his senses of energy interference or receiving. He senses your closeness, whether it be from temperature or vibration or whatever it is. He sees actuality far better than a vision person, because a vision person is lied to by all he thinks he sees. But isn't it grand? Isn't it wonderful? And yet that too is total reflection of light bouncing off of particles manifest. God's given you a perfect world. And it's nothing. It is an idea. It is an illusion. And what you must realize is that your beingness, your souled energy beingness, has drifted off into your play. And you've forgotten your path. You've forgotten who you are and what you are. You're so busy playing your roles that you don't remember how you got out here to do this reflection, this little holographic dance. And you must continue to do your dance until you understand enough to move out of it and back into that return cycle, which always is, the thought goes out, the thought comes back. God projects, and eventually you will come back. And you have all eternity to do it. This is why the rest of us don't get upset over this, even the soul beings that want to stay and play. But a lot of you don't want to stay and play. You want to move on to the higher play. And there is no little foot-size step that you can take. You must take those steps, but it is just an infinite series of progression. So when you try to define something by putting so many little limitations, and I will know by the time I get to here, I will know. No, you won't. Because the facts are, it is so infinite in the progression. You will see that from time to time you take a big step, a big leap. But oftentimes ones who take that big leap are so distracted by the leap itself that you find yourself back down here trying to figure out what happened. So you have to be very careful. But it pulls me back to reality, too. I get off on my sermon. But I want you to think in your hierarchy of religion, whatever it is that your religion teaches you as far as the goodness of light and where I might fit. Don't worry too much about it. The command is the host group of energy forms sent from the throne. And you're but further refraction of that light. So you are dealing with God and the Christed energy and whatever underneath that is representative to you of the archangels, the mother. You will call them saints. They represented goodness. They cannot be in reality because they were people, and other people pronounce them saints. Because there is not that hierarchy at the throne of God. There is a very great difference in people and God. And yet God is within you, so there is no difference. It's just that you stuff it down. And yet, to get to your reality, it is out there somewhere. That means you have to move yourself into it. And that is what you're working at. It doesn't mean you're going to sit and do a certain chant and suddenly you're going to be higher frequency and you're going to take off. You don't have any place to go until you learn where it is you're headed. This is what's wrong with the attitude of rapture. You don't know where you're going. You're just going to get off of here. Well, just getting off of here could be pretty uncomfortable. That is not a solution, nor would God of life ever allow that to happen. To prepare a place for you does not mean I'm going to half-ass do something and leave you hungry. if I'm going to bring you in physical form, I'm going to prepare for the physical needs, is what the Lord would say. Just like the Lord of a plantation, taking care of his children, you have the perfection. I am a messenger. You can call me a prophet if you want to. I wouldn't bother to do that. Prophet is something else man has defined. God would never leave you without. And certainly not at the transition of a planet and a civilization in trouble, lost, and every day the pressures to push you farther into that dark experience of this, quote, living hell. He would never leave you without the messengers. And that's all we are.
Commander?
Yes.
Can you explain the principle of beaming, like in Star Trek?
Certainly. Very simple. You simply disintegrate the particulate in the body itself. It has its own DNA pattern, and it will reassemble somewhere else.
Don't they go through some kind of cognitive change, the frequency of the entity or the individual?
Yes.
What is it? If you're a lower frequency, do you get disintegrated?
You don't stay very low frequency very long. You are literally traveling in a light beam, as a light ray, as a particulated mass, but you have a blueprint. And if you can get all that mass transferred, it will just reassemble.
So this will disintegrate, and it can be decompressed into its...
Yes, and it's not an unusual thing to do. You will find many of the masters of the East can literally dissolve themselves.
How?
You've got a few magicians around that can do it too.
Like David Copperfield?
Yes, he can go through a wall.
Yeah, I see. My question is, how can you lower and raise your frequency just like what you did?
Well, obviously you can't. And there's no way to express it. You're talking about something that has no expression. There is no how to. There is not, you're trying to get on your dimensional kick again. There is no way to express that. You just will be able to do it or you won't. And the higher goal you have, you will be automatically working toward that. And it will come to pass. But it's not going to be that simple. You're going to have to work on getting your body if you plan to take your body. You see, you don't need your body where you're going for the most part. The remnant needs their bodies. I want to remind you again, you have a purpose. You will need to be able to get through those light beams to get off. But you will need the body to interrelate with ones of body. And we begin with literally changing the cellular structure of your body into a higher frequency, and that's where Gyandriana and the light beams and waves enter the picture. Does it mean that you can just eat Gyandriana and suddenly you will be able to make it through a light beam? Probably, yes. But if you have no intention of making that journey for that reason, you won't bother. You'll just say, what the hell, I'm tired of that stuff. This is the human experience. And you notice what humans do. Ones who are dead set on committing suicide will not do anything but die. So a lot of things depend on what it is you want and what is your goal. And we can talk about it in the reality of debate. It is wonderful, it's fun, but it doesn't mean anything. Yes, you can, very definitely. Not only can you will perfect the body cell. But if you are dead set on being sick, I don't care, you can drink that until you fall over from waterlogged. It won't do anything. You will make sure that you stay sick. Even if you have to lie. You may really feel pretty good today, but oh, it's one of my worst days. And pretty soon it will be one of your worst days. Because you have to get it in tune with that higher frequency of goal. And I mean it. That's higher frequency of thought. When you get your thoughts on the higher cause, and that's where they dwell, then you don't do and you don't continue the activities that keep you down here in this low frequency. And speaking of low frequency and high frequency, we're going to have to go into the possibility of nuclear war. I'm not going to let that go another time. And I think that we probably wrap it up by just kind of reading what the prophet said. And we can argue over what he says. Mind you, we can argue over everything. We can argue over when, we can argue over who. But I'm going to remind you that in that Waco compound, they had the ability with one shot to wipe out nearly 500 miles of life. That's what these places are all about these days. And it's getting out of control. And you are, again, right on the ragged edge of war. And this 1993 has been the one year. I have talked about it. Others have talked about it and talked about it. Some will refer to it as the winter of 93. Has nothing to do with winter time. Will it be from volcanoes? Will it be from nuclear devastation? You are getting to the point where very many more accidents, and there will be such radiation in your atmosphere that it'll be falling out on you. Is that terrible? It's devastating to mankind. It is not necessarily bad in small doses for you ones who follow your proper regime. So you cannot take the whole. Do you have that sorted out enough, EJ, too?
Yes, sir. I have. I think I'll turn the tapes, though, before I start, because we're right at the edge.
All right.